those of you undecided as to whether to take the vows or take a hike, Ragtime offers up The Matrimony and the Massacres of October 20th. Jackie Kennedy married Greek shipping magnate Aristotle Onassis today in 1968. President Nixon fired prosecutor Archibald Cox and Deputy Attorney General William Ruckelshaus in the so-called Saturday Night Massacre of 1973. And Flint Black and Lisa Hartman married near Houston in 1991. That's Back Time for October 20th. This is your announcer speaking.
Scarlett Johansson plunges sexily to her death. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Reports have been confirmed that highly desirable actress Scarlett Johansson plunged curvaceously from a 30-story hotel balcony today, coming to rest on the hood of a passing Ford Focus. Emergency medical technicians called to the scene say they were unable to breathe life back into Johansson's ample bosom. Paramedic Greg Takatis.
We did everything we could to stabilize Miss Johansson's red-hot body. But we were too late.
This comes on the heels of another steamy Hollywood tragedy when film star Natalie Portman was eaten alive by fire ants on a movie set last week. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
And now from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
Good morning, Susie.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. It is Monday, October 20th.
It feels like a Monday.
Does it feel like a Monday?
It really, really does.
I got to tell you, you look ravishing this morning with this hairdo. I've never seen that before. It kind of adds, it makes you taller, but I don't know if that's what it
I'm
is.
I'm already almost 5'10". I don't need to be any taller.
I know, but it's sort of cute. You know, it's different.
Thank you, thank you.
It's got like a few tears to it.
A few tears. Okay, like tears.
T-I-E-R-S.
Okay. I was like, I'm making you cry already? Jesus. Oh, goodness.
So you're nice and tan and everything. You look well rested, too.
I'm really not, actually.
No?
Yes, it's all an illusion.
Oh.
It's good makeup. I'll have to thank that.
Yeah?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you can tell us all about it. I know you had probably a crazy weekend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for you, it can't be just a normal weekend. It has to be crazy.
Nope.
Right. So we have a couple of guests today. We have an author that we're going to talk to in a few minutes who wrote the book Talent is Overrated. What really separates world-class performers from everybody else? And I think that's like, you know, maybe there's a secret here, how we can really be more than just losers.
Speak for yourself.
So maybe there is a secret to really making it and being successful. So we're going to talk to him about it.
It's called knowing people on the top of the food chain.
There you go, something like that. And then we're going to have an in-studio guest who is into health and things like that. So I'm sure you're going to like that, right?
Cool, yeah, definitely.
You're into health, kind of, right?
I am a very healthy eater.
Yeah? Not me. I'm the total opposite. I'm the antichrist of healthy food.
Oh, that's way too bad, Sam.
I know. But I don't know. You allow me to do it, so I keep doing it.
Me?
Okay.
I have no control over anything you do in your daily life.
I need to blame someone for something this morning.
Blame your wife.
So where did you go this weekend?
This weekend I went up to Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree.
Yes.
Did you see Joshua or his tree or both?
Actually, I found out that Joshua trees are a specific kind of protected tree that they have up only in that area.
Oh.
And I found out they were protected because I was like, oh, you know, that funny looking tree over there, I want to climb it and like cut off that huge part of it and make it into a hat. It looks like it would make a lovely sunbonnet. And my friend was like, I can't stop you, but I'm not going to have any part of helping hoist you into the tree. And I was like, why not? And he said, because they're protected. There's only one kind of moth in the world that fertilizes these trees. So, I mean, like, if you do anything, like even hang a hammock to the tree, which we found out the hard way, you know, the rangers come around and, like, yell at you and threaten to kick you out of the camp.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
So, that was pretty
crazy.
So,
no hammocks there.
No, we actually then tied the hammock to a huge boulder. We ran like a 100-foot line and decided to hang the hammock anyway. And then the ranger came back again and decided to tell us we had to take that down too because it was dangerous to have lines like running through our camp. I don't know. He was just on a power trip. He had nothing else to do.
So you guys were trying to get away with murder. Okay, now how many people went on this trip?
On the car ride up, there were four of us, and then we met two more people there, and then and this was on Friday night, and so then on Saturday night, one more person came, so a total of seven by the end of the weekend.
Seven people.
Yeah.
on an expedition to Joshua Tree.
Yes.
So tell us what happened. You got there Friday night?
We got there, actually, we left Friday afternoon, like right after the show. And it should have only taken about 2 hours to get up there. But it ended up taking us 5 hours with freaking rush hour. Oh my God, it was miserable.
Who leaves at an hour like that?
At 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's
on a Friday night?
Friday afternoon? Friday afternoon, we thought that was wonderful instead of leaving at 5.
Everybody leaves town Friday
afternoon. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
But yeah, we were heading east, you know, like to this weird area in the middle of nowhere. I didn't think anyone would be heading that way. But and we're in a Jeep with no air conditioning, so it's sweltering hot and like we're wedged in there. But anyway, so we get there, we do all of our unpacking and everything. And my friend that was supposed to be coming up to meet me was delayed by 24 hours. So that meant I was going to have to sleep in the tent with the other people. So all six of us crammed into one tent that first night.
Oh, really?
We actually almost got kicked out of the camp for nudity.
Oh. So apparently, you spent 2 minutes telling us about the trip, and you already got in trouble 3 times.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Okay. Actually, Lisa was the one that really got in trouble, my roommate.
Yeah.
She was the one that, first of all, it's a family campground, as we found out the hard way. And by family campground, I mean, we were screaming, and we had the music blaring at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're running around naked with these like fur coats on, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
With my camping boots and fur coats and like jumping over the fire. Just totally going completely insane. Actually, you can look at my Facebook and see some of the pictures. Like having s'mores and like wiping the marshmallows all over our mouths to make it look like we were just sucking cock.
Really?
I mean, we were being really, really mature, I have to tell you.
Were you all girls?
No, half girls, half guys.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, I was the youngest one there by far. You know, Lisa being 38 and her friends that were, you know, in their 30s. You know, so I would expect them to be a little bit more mature, but no.
No, no. Not more mature
They came
all.
Right down to my level, and I loved every second of it.
Did you really?
But so just imagine we're, like, naked wearing just these, like, little short fur coats and our boots. Mm-hmm. And I had a pair of socks on and my headlamp. That was like my favorite.
What did you do taking fur coats to a camping trip?
It's cold. It gets freezing cold there at night. Fur coats are warm.
But a fur coat?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought those were like to go out.
Well, my very fancy mink is like to go out to nice places, but but not. These are like really old ones, like that I got at one of them I got at a vintage clothing store that's probably like, I don't know, 40 years old or something.
Wow.
So that's just kind of like vintage chic.
Yeah.
But we also wanted to do a bunch of photo shoots while we were there.
Oh.
So, you know, like. I don't know, look like have like this one picture of my girlfriend Michelle. It looks like she just fell out of the tree in the middle of the desert, and she's wearing this fur coat, and her hair's all done up, and her makeup's done up, and she just has this like crazy look on her face, and the pictures are stunning. I mean, they're so hot.
I saw some that Lisa put up. Is that those pictures?
Yeah, some of those. Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, here they are on a fucking camping trip, and somehow they find time to upload new pictures to their Facebook, spend a few fucking times on there, and
that's all Lisa did as soon as she got home last night. It was like spend time editing and uploading the pictures.
But it seemed like you guys were doing stuff while you were away too.
No, not
on Facebook at all.
You have no internet connection, you've got no cell phone, you've got to drive 50 miles to even get cell service. You're out in the middle of nowhere,
really,
so you can't use computers or anything out there.
Well, it seemed like it.
Nope.
So you took a lot of pictures.
I actually didn't take any pictures. Lisa took them all.
Yeah.
She's kind of the camera whore.
I mean, yeah, I have to ask, when does she find all the time? She must update or change her Facebook picture, 2-3 times a day?
Really?
It seems like, yes.
I've never noticed that.
Yeah, because you know how you get a notification every time somebody does anything on Facebook? Yeah. So whenever someone changes their picture, it tells you. So it's like every time I log in, it's like, she changed her picture, a new picture.
Well, maybe she doesn't want you to get sick of the old one.
Well, maybe, yeah. But apparently she likes the way she looks, and those pictures are pretty good, actually.
She's an amazing photographer. I will give her that.
Yeah. But those are photographs of her.
A lot of them are.
So who takes those?
She takes them.
Oh, with the timer.
She either does it with a timer or with her hand, or like sticking her head out the window with like her hair blowing all over the place.
Yeah.
She uses herself. She's just getting into the photography, doing the amateur photography thing, and so she takes a lot of pictures of herself. Like before I came into her life, you know, she didn't really go out that much, I think. And so she would like spend a Saturday night like alone in the house taking pictures of herself, trying to like figure out different ways to use the camera and different lighting and things like that. That way when she does real photo shoots with her friends, you know, she has different ideas on how to make them move or how to give them constructive criticism.
Oh.
I think anyway.
Yeah.
or she just likes the way she looks.
I think she does, yeah. She does like the way she looks.
But yeah, so this was the funniest thing in the world. So all of a sudden, it's the middle of the night, we're just going, we were all kind of, you know, we're drinking and we're partying and we're just a little bit fucked up. Okay, really fucked up.
Really fucked up.
Extremely fucked up. When all of a sudden the camp ranger shows up and literally like we're in our underwear and like these fur coats and boots and that's it. With like our nipples like hanging out because the fur coats aren't even like buttoned. And this overweight middle-aged man shows up and he's got his hand in his flashlight and his nightstick and he's like, and Lisa goes running up and he's like, back up, back up. Oh, stay there, young. Stay there, lady. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. You've got no clothes on. Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
I swear we almost gave the poor guy a heart attack. But next thing you know, Lisa's telling him that, and he's telling us we have to put our clothes on and that it's a family camp and we can't curse and yada, yada, yada. And so Lisa runs up to him.
How fucking terrible is that? I mean, you're going on a camping trip. He's going to tell you to keep it PG?
Well, yes, because after 10 o'clock at night, there's a noise ordinance.
Yeah.
I mean, there are kids and their families, like, having family vacations all around us.
Yeah, but it's camping. It's a trip, you know? You don't fucking have rules, you know?
There are a lot of rules at national parks.
Obviously.
A lot of rules at national parks.
Well, I ain't going. Go ahead.
Yeah. You just have to know how to manipulate the system. But so anyway, like the guy like starts freaking out because Lisa starts charging him, you know. and she's like, ooh, that's a shiny badge you've got there, officer. Ooh, can I touch it? And he's like, don't touch me. Back up. Like he didn't know what
really?
To think. Yes, he was having a heart attack. But then all of a sudden, like she told him that she was a witch and that she was going to put a spell on him if he didn't like back off.
Are you serious?
Yes, at which point he kind of freaked out and he didn't know what to do. But in the end, we all ended up like kind of gathering around him and wearing him down, and kind of I don't know, befriending him in a sort of way.
Yeah.
but the next day, we got yet another complaint from our fellow campers that were camping around us because the boys all hiked and climbed to the top of this one rock that overlooked the entire campground,
right.
And they decided to pull their pants off and moon the entire campground.
Oh, yeah.
So we were having a wonderful photo shoot, taking pictures of their white asses like shining back at us.
Yeah.
But
now, what's the thinking behind mooning? I never really got that. Why do people do that?
I don't know. It's just funny.
Yeah, but you're showing your fucking asshole to the world.
You're not showing your asshole unless you like pry your cheeks apart.
Well, yeah, some people do that.
not really. That's not the whole point of mooning. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what the point of it is.
Yeah, there's no point to it.
But one of our British friends that was there, he was one out of the three that did not do it. Instead, he was like pointing and like shaking his head because apparently it's a very American thing to do. And not a British thing at all.
No, no.
And he just looked down his nose and he was like, oh, I'm too good to be doing things like that. Oh, my. Oh, lordy. So, yes, then we got another warning and yada, yada, yada. But then the last night was just actually really mellow. I ended up falling asleep very early and passing out, almost with my head in the fire.
Really?
Because it was pretty cold the last night. But other than that, it was pretty uneventful. And then I went home last night.
It sounds like it. I mean, there's no juicy anything here.
We were just basically running around naked taking pictures of ourselves.
Yeah, well, that's not juicy. Okay, I was
hoping for some tongue
action or something.
But, okay, the non-juiciest part of the story is, remember how I was supposed to be going with this guy, the one that Janique had the one-night stand with?
Yes.
So he ended up coming. I didn't think he was coming, but he ended up showing up late Saturday night, like at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Yeah. This guy is fucking crazy. He drove straight from San Francisco in rush hour traffic all the way, actually on Friday night, he left on Friday, drove straight through rush hour traffic in San Francisco to Los Angeles and then straight to the campground and got there when we were all passed out.
Wow.
To come and see me. Okay, so yes, I was a little bit flattered. I'm like, whoa, I didn't think you were coming and here you are. Okay. But he is the biggest dork in the world.
Really?
Oh, my God. I mean, he's cute and really, really, really smart. But he's so freaking smart, I just want to kill him and slap him.
Really? You don't like that?
I mean, it was just kind of like a know-it-all smartness. You know what I mean? Where it was just like someone would say...
It makes you feel inferior or something to him?
It doesn't... I mean, at first I was kind of like, oh, cool. You know, I was studying my biology and I didn't understand it. And he's like, let me see. And all of a sudden he rips it out of my hands. And he took the class like 15 years ago. And
really?
Then he starts spouting it. Like he's giving me like a lecture on it.
Yeah.
And that was fine and cool. But all of a sudden, you know, any little thing, it was like... Why is the Milky Way white? And then he would go into like this whole big thing about why exactly it was and the whole scientific reasoning. And I'm like, ooh, and then I found a tarantula. And then I was like, why are people afraid of tarantulas? And then he knew inherently about the evolutionary blah, 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 blah of our brains and why. And eventually I'm just like, shut up.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
Shut up, okay? I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then these other people that are at the campground, he's doing the same thing to them.
Really?
Lisa's like, oh, yeah, I don't know much about photography. Well,
let
and then
me
he
tell
gives
you,
a whole dissertation on the fucking thing.
Yeah.
So I was actually stuck in the car with him on the ride home. Because I don't know, I felt kind of rude not going home with him. Oh, and then he wanted to, like, hook up with me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just weird and uncomfortable, because as soon as he got there, I was like, there's no way in hell I want to hook up with this guy. He's just kind of socially awkward.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, no.
Listen, let's take a quick break, and then we're
going to
call the author.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so hang in there. Whoops. I'm too eager.
Wake up, Sam.
Yeah, hang in there. We'll be back right after this.
Oh, thank God you're here! He just collapsed after dinner!
Oh, yeah! We're gonna give him CPR!
CPR!
Clear an airway and begin chest compression!
Chest compression!
First do a season and now we'll get you breathing, you're staying alive! Staying alive!
Give him out the mouth, the chest down a pound, he's staying alive! Staying alive! He's alive!
Okay, and
that was so annoying.
Was it?
Oh my God, I had to take my earphones off.
Well, did you hear that they said something about the song Staying Alive that actually brings the heartbeat to its optimum when you listen to it? Yeah.
Wait,
it was in the news. That's why they did a fake commercial here.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool, you know, but apparently it's got the just the right beats per minute or something, you know, where it just makes you feel alive.
Like the raw music?
Yeah. Oh, that raw music.
I thought you were going to kill someone in the studio that day. You looked like you were just so bored.
How could you tell?
Oh, I could tell because I fell asleep and I woke up when I hit the freaking microphone arm and you looked like you wanted to kill me.
Yeah. Well, I get irritated when a guest tries to take the show in his direction, you know? It doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it does.
Oh.
And, you know, you don't want to make him feel uncomfortable and stuff, but you gently...
There's nothing gentle about you. I mean,
oh, fuck you.
No, I'm serious. You're like fucking in the ass without lube. You're just like, okay, we don't want to bore the listeners, dude.
I did not say
you
that.
You basically did.
No, I didn't.
Pretty much.
Really? Is
yeah.
that how you felt about it?
Kind of.
Really?
Yeah.
You should have told me.
Well, it's a little hard to be guilty. Like, Sam, like, you know, be polite. Don't be rude to our guest here.
Yeah, but you see, but that's the thing. I must have felt in the back of my mind that if he has the balls to try and hijack this show, then I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight for it. You know? It's funny. I never thought you even had any opinion about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
I just don't usually say anything.
Why?
I don't know. Well,
no, you should tell me. I mean, you're going to be full of resentment if you get things
to
tell me.
No, I just did tell you.
Yeah.
And I do tell, like, sometimes I hold things in. Like, when you play that one clip, the best of Sam and Susie. Same. After the 10th time, I was like, okay, I've got to say something. I've got to say something now.
You know what? You take the time out of your day. Find clips and put them together and we'll play them.
But that's the whole point. This is your day doing these things. My day consists
of... Oh, really?
Yes. Isn't
really?
It?
Really?
Isn't it?
Taking clips and putting them together?
I don't know.
No,
I'm
not the one who did it.
Well, who?
No, Greg did this.
Well, let's tell Greg he needs to do something else.
Okay. Let's call our author now because we're keeping him waiting. Okay. And we're calling...
Jeff Colvin?
Jeff Colvin. And his book is Talent is Overrated.
Jeff Colvin.
Good morning, sir. This is Sam and Susie from LA Talk Radio in Los Angeles. How are you doing this morning?
Great, thanks. How are you?
Good. Have you had enough interviews this morning, or are we the first one?
Yeah, I have to admit you're not the first one,
okay.
But I never tire of talking about my book.
So oh, wow.
Well, we're glad you're warmed up for us.
Yes.
I am, absolutely. And by the way, I don't know how it's sounding on your end, but if you want to, this is a cell phone, if you want to call me on a landline, I can give you one.
Okay. Would you like to call us back so you don't have to give us a number over the air?
I'll be happy to do that. Is that all right?
Yes, absolutely. The phone number is right there on the front of the website.
I've got a number right here.
Great. So we'll hang up and you can call us back on that line. That'd be great.
I'll call you right now.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay. That's good. Yeah. I'm glad when the guest realizes there's a problem with the phone.
I know.
Anyway, wow, we're going to have to do a whole show on shit that you're keeping from me, that you're thinking about me.
Eventually it all comes out.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've pretty much told you everything.
All right. Hi, Jeff? Hello? Jeff?
I didn't even hear it ring.
Yeah. Someone's calling. Who's calling? Caller?
Hello, okay. Hello.
It says call failed or something. I don't know. But, interesting.
I don't know why it says call failed.
So, we'll do a show on that. And then I can tell you what irritates me about you.
Uh-oh. Now it's vibrating over there.
Yeah, now he's calling me on my phone.
Well, pick it up and tell him.
Yeah, that's a long one. Why is he doing this?
I don't know.
Hello, Jeff. Yeah, you need to call us on the other number. You called me on my cell phone. Yeah, that number you called first, that was good, but you hung up. Or... Yet. Okay, try it again. But one more time. He got a recording.
We're going to go 3 for 3.
Yeah, here we go, live radio for you.
We should have an answering machine on Skype.
We do.
We do?
Yeah, that's probably what he got.
Oh, okay.
You know, but what good is that going to do us, you know?
I don't know. I never knew it had an answering service on it.
Yeah, this is funny. Okay, here it comes again. Hi, Jeff. Hello, Jeff. He keeps hanging up. I don't know. Or he gets disconnected or something.
We got nothing.
Anyway, his book is called Talent is Overrated, What Really Separates World-Class Performers from Everybody Else. And he claims that it's not about talent. It's not about hard work. And I don't know, Susie. I thought those were the ingredients, you know, for success.
I've always liked to rely on my good looks and charm.
Yeah, that works every time, huh? Fuck you. But not everybody's born like that, Susie.
I'm kind of being sarcastic.
Well, I don't think so. There's some truth in that.
It's not that I don't know. I just rely on a lot of people to do other things for me. And it's not that I can't do them. It's that why should I have to?
Yeah, you're right. You know what? I'm going to try and call him now on that number.
Okay. Why don't you do that?
Yeah, because now I have his landline.
You've reached Time Incorporated.
Oh, my God. Well, at
this
least we know where he's calling from.
This is all fucked up. Oh, my God. I love that phrase. It gets people every time. They're like, what's AFU mean? Yeah. I'm like, all fucked up.
All fucked up.
Yes.
AFU?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
I say that about my handicapped sister. Uh-huh. You know, she's severely retarded. Is he calling?
Yeah he's calling.
Okay, pick up.
Let's see.
I'll tell you later.
Okay, Jeff, we're trying once more. Are you there?
Hey, this time it worked.
There we go. Yeah, there you go. We try to call you back on this number, but we got the main switchboard, I think.
Yeah.
At any rate, you sounding wonderful now. So where are you calling us from? Where are you at right now?
I'm actually in my office in the Time and Life building in Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool. I'll be in Manhattan on Friday.
Really? This Friday you're going to? Oh, wow. So maybe, maybe you can go visit him if we find that his book is worth anything. So,
I know, right?
You never know. It was taking a chance.
Yeah, there you go. But I love this because it's a book for thinkers, I think, and it gets you thinking. And you claim that there is something that people seem to have that helps them succeed in a way that other people cannot. And that's very curious. And what I did is I did not go far in the book to find out what that is because I wanted to find out on the air, and maybe you can introduce us to this whole thing.
Absolutely. This is based on a bunch of scientific research that I came across when working on an article for Fortune. And I found it so interesting and so important that I really felt I needed to write this book about it. The gist of it is that talents, as we normally think of them, meaning a specific inborn ability to do a certain thing easily or well or quickly, the evidence really doesn't support that idea. What it says is the reason some people are so incredibly good at whatever it is they do is that they have worked at it in a very particular way. Not just any kind of hard work, but they've worked at it in a very particular way, which I describe in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do that enough, they will become unbelievably good.
Wow.
It really disrupts the idea most of us carry around with us, and which I did like everybody else until I got into this, the idea that you have to be born with a particular special something if you're going to be ever as good as Tiger Woods at golf or Chris Rock at comedy or anybody, Warren Buffett at investing, anybody who is unbelievably world-class good.
Or Sam and Susie at the radio.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Sam and Susie, that's what I meant to say. That's right.
So you're saying that talent is not enough because maybe that's the ability to do something, but then you sort of have to put it into action in a certain way?
Well, you know, the idea of the talent as the special ability that you just have, this will sound radical, mm-hmm. and I guess it is, except there are a lot of researchers who now believe it. They think maybe that doesn't even really exist.
Really?
Yes, some people are smart. That's certainly true. Some people are more intelligent than others. And obviously there are, you know, physical things that if you're talking about sports people, you know, you need to be big if you're going to be an NFL lineman. Mm. And you better not be very big if you're going to be an Olympic gymnast or something. You know, there's sort of things like that that you're certainly born with. But for the most part, the ability to perform incredibly well comes from what the researchers call deliberate practice. But I always caution people, that's not what most of us are actually doing when we think we're practicing. It's a very specific idea.
I see. So practice actually brings to mind repetition.
Yeah.
Okay.
And repetition is really important, as it turns out. The activities that are very successful at this, that really produce results, are activities that you can repeat over and over at high volume, where you can get lots of feedback on how you're doing, constantly figuring out whether this worked or not, and activities that somebody is designing for you. Sometimes you can design it for yourself, but often you need somebody to design these activities for you to push you just beyond what you can currently do.
Give us some kind of example of that.
Absolutely. Let's think of ice skaters. This is something that people can really... We all see them on the Olympics, you know, these incredible figure skaters and stuff.
Yep.
If you are trying to do what you can already do, then you'll have a very comfortable time in your figure skating practice. But if you are trying to move just beyond what you can currently do, you are going to fall down a lot. And falling down on ice is not pleasant.
Okay,
this is no fun. You land on your behind on this cold, hard surface. Mm-hmm. Well, what the researchers found is that average figure skaters spend a lot of their practice time working on moves they pretty much already know. The great ones, the champions, the very, very best, spend most of their practice time working on the moves that they can't quite do. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they fall down a lot.
Yeah.
And the reason I tell this little story is that it's kind of a metaphor for anything you want to do in life. Falling on your behind on cold, hard ice a lot is what it takes to get incredibly good.
Yes.
But if you're willing to do it, you will get incredibly good.
Yes. So this is similar to saying, you know, the road to success is
try and try again.
Yeah.
Fail,
you know,
and then try again.
The more failures, the better your chance of succeeding, because it shows you are actually trying.
That's exactly right.
Mm.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
If you do this, you will have a lot of failures. Now, you want them to be small, right, so that they don't ruin you or anything like that. But if you aren't trying, if you aren't having failures, then you aren't pushing yourself enough. You aren't trying to do stuff that you can't do and thus extend your abilities. So you have put it exactly right.
An example that comes to mind for me is I went to an all-girls boarding school in upstate New York, and there was this one girl in particular on her SATs. I mean, she scored almost a perfect score. But yet she would never really do her work. She never really applied herself. And yet there was another girl who scored like really, really, you know, poorly on the SATs, but worked her little butt off. And the two girls ended up both applying to the same colleges. And the one girl just thought she would naturally be able to just skate her way in just because she had gotten the perfect score on her SATs. Meanwhile, it didn't happen that way. She ended up not getting in. And it was just kind of like, you had all the talent in the world. I mean, you had everything going for you and you just chose not to do anything.
Mm.
And then, like, the other kid just, like, worked her little butt off, and she ended up getting in.
Right. And that's a great story. That's a great story because it's a perfect illustration of what really works and what doesn't. And, in fact, we all know lots of people who who are highly intelligent but haven't maybe achieved a whole lot.
My boyfriend.
We also know plenty of people who are clearly not the brightest bulbs in the lamp, and yet they have achieved a whole lot, and it's for just the reasons you say.
Right. Mm. So you're saying essentially to move beyond the comfort zone and reach a little higher, a little further.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well,
and in fact, that's the way a lot of the people put it. You know,
you
have to push just outside the comfort zone. And frankly, you have to do it every day. And this is hard.
Wow.
Not everybody will want to do it. And one of the deep questions in this whole area is why some people will push themselves to do it, even though it's so hard. Yet those are the people who absolutely will be the world-class performers.
Mm, wow, interesting. And so research, does that really show that that's one thing that they have in common, those high performers?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Absolutely. And in fact, the research is really interesting because they have the researchers have come up with something they call the 10-year rule because they find that nobody seems to reach world-class levels of performance in any field, whether it's sports, music, business, whatever, with less than 10 years of intensive work. And in some fields, it takes much more than that to reach the top.
Gee, that's fascinating.
There's no fast route.
Yeah, so that's a big chunk of your life right there to just really focus on this.
Sure.
So you might as well be into it and enjoy what you're doing.
You got it. And in fact, that is really one of the crucial things. If you don't feel driven to do this, and you're competing with people who do feel driven to do it, you're probably not going to succeed. And so you probably shouldn't be. Going into
competing, that. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so that's amazing. Did you get to talk to any famous people doing this, writing the book?
Sure. I mean, I've spoken to lots and lots of famous business people in connection with this because those are the people I speak to, all the time in connection with my work at Fortune anyway.
Right.
And, of course, the great performers, and this is something that's really interesting, the great performers understand this extremely well. They all get it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, some of them we found actually resent when people say they have an incredible natural talent because that makes it sound like it was easy for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
It
undervalues the enormous amount of work that they know they had to put into it.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point. I like that.
Yeah. So to summarize this, you take your talent and you push yourself higher, further than your comfort zone. Even though you're good, you want to try and get better.
Yeah. You've got to push yourself to get beyond what you're able to do and do it every day. And the good news here is that's all it takes. You don't have to have this incredible inborn ability. And by the way, one of the most consistent messages I hear from readers is, I want my kids to read this book. They want kids to understand that you don't have to wait and find some natural ability that you may or may not have. In fact, if you wait to do that, you'll probably never achieve what you might achieve.
Amazing.
It's really important to give kids the right message on that.
Yeah, I really think so. And I think if someone reads your book, definitely save a few years for them of trying to figure things out. By actually doing what other people are doing successfully,
I'm actually going to give this book to my boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's so talented in a couple different fields, and he just does nothing with it because he's so lazy. And it's like he could be so big if he just applied himself and pushed himself a little bit outside his comfort zone of sitting on the couch and doing nothing.
Yeah. And I think it's important for a person to know that if they do that, that there is a chance for them to succeed. Maybe he doesn't think whatever he does is ever going to help him succeed, so maybe he just gives up, before he even tries.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, that's a great point. I mean, it does work, know?
Yes.
It does work. And there's a price to it, obviously, but what this says to you is that you are in control of this process.
Of your own destiny.
It isn't a mysterious, natural thing that you either have or don't have for reasons that can never be explained. You're in control of this.
Wow.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Jeff Colvin, I mean, definitely a fascinating book. You have a lot of interesting things to say. Why don't you go ahead and give us a link of where people can find your book or more information on you?
Yeah, absolutely. The way to do that is just go to jeffcolvin.com, but the Jeff is spelled G-E-O-F-F. It's
right.
One of those Jeffs.
One of those Jeffs, and you always have to explain that, don't you?
You always say, your whole life.
Yeah, your whole life.
You're one of those.
Yeah. G-E-O-F-F, C-O, and then Colvin, C-O-L. V-I-N, jeffcolvin.com. Yeah. Or if you remember the title of the book, Talent is Overrated, you can go to talentisoverrated.com. It'll send you to the same place.
Right. And I just did want to quote a line from Donald Trump. He says, Jeff Colvin has written a fascinating study of great achievers from Mozart to Tiger Woods. So, you know, obviously you've done your homework, and I'm definitely going to finish this book soon, because I find that, you know, as I improve in my life, I find that this book really gets it, you know. So
I'll tell you, I'm very glad to hear that from you, and I have heard it from a number of people. They look in their own lives and they look at the people around them, the people they've worked with, and this message resonates.
Yes, it definitely does.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much, sir. This has been great. Thank you so much, and good luck with the book. Of course, Talent is Overrated, Jeff Colvin, and go to his website, jeffcolvin.com, and all the best to you. So you write for Fortune, right?
Yes, I do.
Wow. So
yes, I do.
We'll have to look for your articles as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not hard to find. Thank you very much for talking about this. I hope it's been useful to you.
Absolutely.
It has been. Thank you very much, Mr. Colvin.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye. Okay. So, I mean, you know, I like stuff like this. I like stuff that makes you think.
You know what,
makes
this, this is actually a very basic concept that, like, most people know. It's like, you know what, all you have to do is, like, try hard. If you can't do it, you know, you got to try again.
Yes.
But the way he phrases it, I don't know, it's kind of cool. With the talent, I like. It reminds me of, like, growing up doing the commercials and things.
Right.
There were so many girls that had stage moms. And the girls, you know, they might have been cute. They could have been on the border of being, like, beautiful or not so beautiful. But their moms, like, even if they didn't have the talent or the look, they would push them and push them and push them. And, you know, the moms would just, like, force these kids to succeed. They were like, you are not going to give up, and neither am I, until you, like, get some big movie or something like that.
I know. And it's, I think it's terrible, you know. The thing is that...
You think that's terrible.
Well, no. What I'm saying is that, yes, they're talented, but for parents to push their kids like that, I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing, not if the kid's not into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different thing. I mean, look, you look at a Tiger Woods, you go, okay, so he likes golf, he's good at golf, but he keeps on trying to get better and better all the time, and I think that's what Jeff was trying to say.
Maybe he hates golf. maybe he just tried so to be good at it for so long that you know, he finally got good at it, and now he's like, "Damn it, I want to do something else. I want to play baseball."
Yeah, well, but I'm sure. Why not? He's entitled at this point. Shit, you know.
I know, absolutely.
But at any rate, this is a great book. We'll take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is how you turn it on. This is your email. This is the internet. And this...
Oh, my God. Oh, it's all over the side of my face.
...is the strange rash you'll develop from using your iPhone. The iPhone. Wow. You really need to put something on that.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time, just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. The shadows, well, they struggled on. went up and down, did right and wrong. Misunderstandings were put aside, and the gap became too wide. You cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. Oh, in the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Circumstances made them stay. Much too late to break away. Oh, they flew so high, they lifted off the ground, and they locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end there's nobody to blame.
This is George Takei, and I am truly excited to have Sam and Susie in the Morning on my internet radio. Those two are a hoot. I swear if I was heterosexual, I'd ask Susie out on a date. Of course, I'm homosexual, so I'll be asking Sam out instead. Oh my. And now let's get back.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Yes. Not a good choice to play for guests we have at the studio.
No.
But we have a couple of guests in the studio. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning. Good
morning. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Well, we are two brothers, one mind.
Well, I meant your name.
My name is Chad.
Chad, and you?
And I'm Chad also. Actually, my name is Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. Okay.
Chad and Jeff.
And you guys are brothers? Actual brothers?
We are actual brothers.
Really?
They're twins. Can't you tell?
Are they really? No. Are you twins?
No, we get that.
No.
Exactly
really?
3,300 days apart.
Wow.
Chad's 18.
Oh, my gosh.
So you guys live here in L.A.?
We do.
Yes,
yeah. And so go ahead. What is it that you guys do?
Well, basically what a show, it's called Two Brothers and One Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
What we like to do is use advanced forms of communication to read each other's minds. So we have the audience draw down different things or take objects out of their pockets or different things throughout the show. And one of us is either blindfolded or out of the room or to the side of the stage, and then the other one transmits to the other brother.
Really?
Whoa, yeah. That's crazy.
Wow. This is amazing.
So do you consider yourselves like psychic?
Well, I wouldn't call ourselves necessarily psychic, but...
very in tune?
I guess if you're going to look for a word, telepathic is the word that they...
Oh,
okay. We're not here to predict the future or try to tell you what's coming on tomorrow. All we've been really focusing on is trying to read each other's minds.
I see. Okay. And so there's... now, I mean, you guys must be very close and stuff to be able to do this. How do we know it's not trickery here?
Well, we can try something here, and you know, a lot of people do believe that what they're seeing is magic. We've had other people say to us that they actually believe that we've had computer implants put into our heads.
Yeah, whoa. Well, that's possible in today's age.
That's
right?
Absolutely possible.
Well, so okay, so Chad just handed you a whiteboard,
a little erasable pen thingamajig.
Yes, and I'm getting one too. Oh, thank
you. What we're basically going to do? Yes. Now imagine if we had 50 to 100 people in a room, everybody would be involved. But obviously, there's two of us who have never seen a show in this studio.
I like getting a lot of attention anyway.
There we go. So what we'll have you do is obviously keep it hidden from so I can't see it. And you'll be showing my brother what you draw, and then I will try to guess what you guys submitted to him.
Okay.
For instance, just to keep it fair, keep it balanced, why don't you draw something like an animal, but make sure that we see it, we know what animal it is. It's not like...
I'm a really bad artist.
A unicorn dinosaur or something that we've never seen before, but, you know, something very basic.
Let's go with the basic animal, and...
Sam, why don't you, if you have a son or if you're married, put their initial, somebody I wouldn't know, just like a first initial, last initial.
You got it.
On top of that, Sam, you're young enough, or Susie, you're young enough that I don't feel I'd offend you if I ask you for your birthday.
Would you mind
putting your birthday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just putting initials, right?
Yeah, put some initials, two initials.
Okay.
Why don't you put a shape around the initials, too?
Yeah, like a basic shape to cover around the initials.
You got it.
A few things.
Okay.
I'm the worst artist. I'm sorry.
Sorry, if we can't figure it out, then we can't send it.
You can blame it on me.
Yeah, we'll blame it on Susie there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you want me to enclose it in a shape? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sure. Put a shape around it.
Okay. All right, you got it.
I got a few items.
No problem.
Do you want the year, too, that I was born?
If you feel like giving that out.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
So now, are we showing this to you, Jeff?
You will eventually, but for now, just keep it hidden.
And to keep this fair, since it is a small room, I do have a blindfold.
A blindfold, too.
These guests. They're fun.
Yeah, they're totally prepared, you know.
I'm a very interactive person. It's good.
Excellent.
And this blindfold does allow me to see directly across the studio.
Okay.
We don't take really a look at this. Make sure that this is a legitimate blindfold.
Let me put down my board.
Would you be able to do it if you're facing the other way, or do you have to be facing your brother?
If all goes well, I may even leave the room at one point.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
The blindfold is legit.
All right. Legit.
Can I borrow this?
What the hell are you going to do with it? Okay. So you're going to put the blindfold on.
Chad's going to blindfold himself.
Okay. Yeah, you can take the headphones off. And, this is exciting. Wow, we didn't expect this.
Not at all.
Minds are going to be read, or actually, our guest's mind is going to be read by
You're
what
all
he's
good
seeing.
There, I can tell.
Okay. He's good. He's
ready
to go.
Let me just take a peek at one of yours, Susie.
Okay.
All right.
I'm really bad at keeping secrets, too.
He hasn't seen this. That's legit. You can tell all your
Was
listeners.
That an okay enough picture?
That's fine by me.
Okay.
Okay. Try to talk into the microphone, guys.
All right, I'll do that.
Thank you. Okay, he's rubbing his temples, closing his eyes, concentrating.
All right, Chad, picture in your mind.
Okay.
Can you tell everybody what I'm thinking of right now?
Are you looking at the animal first?
I am looking at the animal.
Susie, did you draw a cat?
It is a cat.
Oh,
is
my
it not?
God.
Wow.
That's really, 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 really weird.
Usually
let me try one of yours.
Okay.
Now, it's usually custom to the show. If you see something amazing that you really like, you scream out, two brothers, one mind.
Two brothers, one mind.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. We actually said that in the beginning.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe you just got that.
Yeah. Chad, will you tell me the first initial of this name?
If I'm not mistaken, it's the letter D.
It is a D. Go ahead and tell him the second initial, please.
Is it a... I might be mistaken. Is it a U?
No.
Is it a B?
It is a B.
B.
Whoa.
Wow. He's just playing with us. He knew it was a B all along.
No.
Who's DB?
That's my wife.
It is your wife.
Oh. Yes.
Very nice. Chad, would you tell me the shape that he drew around the initials?
It's a lousy shape, but...
Is it similar to a square, perhaps? Is it a square?
No,
square.
Keep focusing here.
Okay, I'm focused.
Deeper.
All right, would you tell Susie what it is?
Oh, you circled it. Did he?
No.
No.
I got to tell you, we've never done this early in the morning.
Yeah. We'll come back to that one. We'll
listen,
come back to that.
I mean, the shape is not very good. So.
He got the initials and he got my animal. Initials.
Yes, that's pretty impressive stuff, guys.
Let's try for this date here.
Okay.
If we get this, that'd be way better.
Oh, you put the date down,
Susie?
I
wrote my birthday.
Yeah. It's not on Facebook or anything, is it?
I don't know.
He may have researched you. Who knows?
Maybe.
How would he have guessed my animal?
No. Yeah. Well, gee, you have a picture of a friggin' cat right on
your
thing.
I've got pictures of lizards, too.
Yeah.
We've researched you both, actually.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
Chad, can you tell me what the month is that Susie was born?
It was an earlier month, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Is it March?
It is March.
Yeah. All right. Whoa.
All right. Will you tell me the actual day?
If I'm not mistaken, March 14th.
It is March 14th.
Wow. Yay.
This is creepy. Wow.
Now go ahead and tell everybody what the year is that Susie was born.
Is
I don't even know that one.
Is it 1982?
It is.
It is.
1982.
Two brothers, one mind.
Yeah. These guys are awesome.
How do you guys do that? Or how did you figure out that you could do this?
Well, I was...
No, first of all, you guys are really twins, or no?
No, we're not twins.
No, we're really? Actually younger. When I was born, I knew when I came out of the womb I had an older brother, Jeff.
No way.
Yeah, he knew that.
I think they're just messing with me.
Yeah. They're messing with us, period. I mean, this is magic.
I'm gullible.
Yeah. No, but I mean, this is amazing, but we do see this in, magic acts and stuff like that. So, I found out about magic is if you don't know how it's done, then it's magic, and it's often, based on technology
He's
or
a skeptic.
Things like that.
Tell him to be quiet.
No, I mean, but that's what they should expect. Look, when you come out and you make statements like this, people put you on the spot, and you do have to prove what you're doing, But regardless of how you do it, it's very, very impressive, I have to say.
And 100%, when people ever ask us, are you psychic? Do you, we never aim toward that way.
Our standard is, we are two brothers, one mind.
Yeah.
And come see our show, I think you'll be entertained. Yeah. As far as actually taking money from people, like I said before, for psychic, trying to tell them what's happening in their future or anything like that, we're totally not into that.
Yeah, you're not into that.
And I think that's what most skeptics are worried about, is if you've got the guy who...
he's a hustler, baby.
That he's taking some old lady's money for, to tell them when...
Her cat's going to come back and ran away.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow, so this is cool. So you never have any privacy. I mean, you always know what the other one thinks.
It's a little bizarre, actually.
You can't think ill thoughts of each other at all.
My wife is a little weirded out, actually, and she actually made me put tinfoil up and in place of the wallpaper in our bedroom.
Shut up.
Nothing could come in. But
but now it just allows me to see from all different angles.
So I don't know if that's... It really doesn't do any good. But
are you kidding or are you serious?
No, I'm kidding. I love how Sam's laughing, and she's like, really?
Yeah.
Hey, I believe my sister told me gullible wasn't in the dictionary. I was like, oh, yes, it is. I'm going to go find it right now.
Well, hey, here's a nice segue. Do you want to try this test with some dictionaries?
Yes, why
not? Why not?
Sure. Give it up.
Let's give it a shot here.
Okay.
Just take a look at those and make sure dictionaries. that they're exactly the same.
I'm going to look for a good word. Can I pick a word?
Well, sure, you can, but... let's make sure that they're both the same before we go.
Oh, we need to figure out the same word?
No. Verify that the books are actually the same.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They're all...
There's no markings.
Yeah, they look
as
good. Yeah, they look as good as any.
Okay. Yeah, they look the same.
Susie, if you want to come out this way, I'll move over towards you.
Okay.
Okay, so he wants to see the word?
Yes, I'll have to see the word before I transmit it, but please do me this favor. Try to find a word that's fairly descriptive, something that you can actually visualize in your head. If you take something that's a little off base,
this is going to be off base, but it's very descriptive.
Right, don't say it out loud.
Yeah.
Yet.
But maybe you want something that's not so.
Give us any hints, Sam.
Yeah. All right. No, I'm not.
Let me see.
But you want something maybe that's physical. That's that you can think about.
Oh, this is a PG dictionary. This is bullshit.
I did not bring the internet ready.
I need the X-rated dictionary. Okay, let me see.
You know, I mean, even if this is a trick, let's say these dictionaries are a trick, right? And you guys sort of like can figure out page numbers or something. I mean, still, it would be very hard. I mean, you'd have to memorize every page or something. And no, I don't think that would work. So,
okay.
So I'm here starting to believe. I'm starting to believe. Go ahead.
Sam, you'll be a believer before
that. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm showing him my word.
Okay. All right. So we're looking at a dictionary here, and Jeff is looking at the word, and he's going to think about it. Okay.
All right, Sam. See if you can hand Chad the book.
Okay. Closed, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Closed book.
Now find the word, Chad.
Do it, Chad.
Okay, well, they are thinking. There's no eye contact, I must say. Not any that I can see. Okay, we get it, Susie. We get it.
Shut up.
You're trying to break the concentration. Okay, there was.
Now tell everybody what it is. Actually, let's do it like we do in the big show, Chad. Why don't you hand the book back to Sam and point to the word that I'm thinking of?
I'm really.
Having a hard time with this one?
I believe I got it. We're definitely, I believe, on the same page.
Literally.
You think so? I don't know.
I believe we're on the same page.
Let's just try it. Susie, why don't you just say your word here and see if we come up with the right one. I got a feeling that we may be off here. But
Chad has shown me a word. Hang on.
Mummy.
Is that it?
Well, he did point to it.
I was going to have you both say it at the same time. Sorry, but that's okay. That was the word that he was pointing to. Was mummy? Was it not?
More or less. I mean, look, he's on the right page, and yes, I think he was. Yeah, I mean, it's as good as anything. Yeah, I mean, there's mumps after that or mumble before. So yeah, wow, that's very impressive, guys.
Oh, thank you very much.
Bravo.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
I mean, yeah, and the audience loves you too.
Wow. Do you guys ever do it in reverse?
Sometimes we do. Matter of fact, we can possibly try that a little bit in a few moments here.
Wow.
Are you the main, like, I don't know, you just send the waves over Chad's way?
Yeah, well, in the main show, we bounce back and forth. But when we first started out, I was doing most of the sending and Chad was doing most of the receiving. So we figured since it's early in the morning and
a lot of this
is all going to go.
Is part of the first portion of our act. Yeah. With our stage show, we go on a little bit more and try to keep going more in detail.
Tell them a little bit about Blind Bingo.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. I mean, so you guys obviously have, let's say, for lack of a better word, superpowers. Okay, you're gifted in something that most people don't. Have you tried to make money out of this? Like, go to Vegas and try
that
to figure things
question.
Out?
That was my next
question. Yeah, I mean, that's a natural question to ask.
Well, we just started out about a year and a half ago, going public. Mm-hmm. We had done private shows before then, and we've been doing shows at a place called Cafe Amsterdam in North Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place. They've got a small stage, and we try to do a show there once or twice a month. Right now, we're currently looking for another venue, a theater venue in town, and we're branching out, meeting up with some friends in Vegas this weekend, actually. I've got a really good...
I should mention that.
Yeah. But you realize you will be thrown out, or... I mean, they can't arrest you for that, can they? I mean, if you're, like, caught in Vegas doing this, you'll probably just be thrown out of the casino.
We would definitely have to be booked. I don't think we can just walk.
No, like no. Well, I'm saying like if you walked up to a blackjack table, like could you actually like?
You see these
what
guys
the
are so naive.
Are?
They don't even realize what we're asking.
They're like me.
Oh, you're saying can we go into the casino
in
and
the
try
casino.
To take them?
Yeah.
I'm a law-abiding guy. I don't know.
Try
that. But
I'm making my own MIT team as we speak.
But could you if you wanted to? Is the question?
I suppose it would be.
If we really wanted to gear toward that direction, we could.
Okay, so let me ask you. Okay, so you don't go to Vegas, but if we sat here and we had a poker game, could you guys like have an advantage over us because of this?
I think the two of us, we know each other's hands very easily.
Right.
And we could use that to our advantage.
Yeah. Wow.
But you I see, don't think would I, awesome. We wouldn't know your hands. So.
Right. But still, I mean, I think you'd still be able to, I mean, when there's two people working on the same side, obviously you have better chances of winning than if I sat here on my own and try to figure it out.
Sure.
So, wow, that's amazing. Or someone could just be standing behind me and channeling to the other guy.
Wow. Well, yeah. I do card tricks, and like sometimes like if I'm in a room, I can read the cards like through a window, or if someone has blue eyes, I can see the reflection of the cards like in their eyes. I have all kinds of like little nifty tricks that I used to teach.
Nice. Man, you sound like you should be opening for us.
Yeah, we'll book you for next show.
Whoa.
Yeah.
His son is actually the one that does the most amazing card tricks I've ever seen.
Nice. Right. But those are tricks. That's what I'm saying. So,
but these are tricks too. Are they not? Are they tricks or is it real?
Well, you guys can just decide on your own. But,
yeah, exactly. I mean, look, that's the mystery about them. And I don't expect you guys to say it. But that's the fun part about it, I think, is trying to figure out how do they do it, you know?
Yeah.
How do they do it? But whether it's a natural thing or you guys just developed this, it's very impressive. I mean, it's an impressive act. And I would definitely come and see you guys.
I would love it.
So where do you guys perform again? You said over in North Hollywood.
We are going to be in North Hollywood on the 8th of November,
yeah,
right,
November Jeff? 8th at 9 p.m., mm-hmm. Amsterdam Cafe. We also have a band, Victor on the Fritz, that are going to be opening up for us.
Oh.
Victor on the Fritz. I like that Fritz name.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And so that's where you guys usually perform?
Yeah, we've been trying to keep a standard place in town that we can promote the show. And it's been good because we've gotten some private parties out of it from people who've come to see the show.
Great.
While we're at the Amsterdam, so yeah, it's all been good.
You should go on cruise ships.
We'd love to. The goal. Any cruise ship people out there right now listening to the show, you can give us a call.
Yeah, there you
check
go.
Check out our website, twobrothersonemind.com.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe you can go out and after the cruise ships and stuff, you know. We just had an author that tells you got to go beyond your comfort zone.
That's
you know?
Right.
Yeah, rather than wait for them to come to you, you go to them. You
I
know?
Think we did that today. So, this is our first radio interview, so we kind of got out of our show.
Yeah, good. Good for you. Good for you. You see, and it works, you know, and you have fun in the process as well.
Definitely.
So it's Two Brothers, One Mind, right? Do you guys have a website people can go to?
Yes.
Yeah, www.twobrothersonemind.com.
Okay. It's all words, not numbers, right?
Yeah, all words.
Okay.
All
words. Makes
it sounds
sense?
Kind of dirty to me. I don't know why.
It's because you're thinking of that two girls, one cup, probably.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh God, you went thinking. There.
Yeah, I knew what you were thinking.
Well, you set them up. What do you want?
I was thinking more like a threesome, like two girls, one boy. I don't know. Oh, God. Sam, have you seen that?
Which one?
Two girls, one cup?
No. Oh, what is that? What is that?
Oh,
two girls, one cup when they have the semen in there and then they
No, it's not semen.
No, it's not semen. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. I don't think they came in for this.
I think they're easygoing. They don't care.
So shock factor.
Well, listen, guys. This has been fascinating. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, appreciate it.
All the best to you. How old are you guys?
I'm 28. Just turned 28 last week.
28. And you're 29?
I just turned 37.
37?
I did.
You
really?
See, you said it was 300 days between
3,300. 3,300.
Oh, 3,300 days. Yeah. Yes. Wow.
You guys look so much. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. He loves that.
Yeah, but that's amazing. Cool. Do you guys have any other brothers or sisters?
Yeah, we actually have another brother and a sister back home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah.
And they don't channel like you guys do, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are they jealous?
I think my sister's a little jealous that her husband can't read her mind. But
oh,
I know that is a big problem in this country these days.
All of us women have that problem.
All right. Well, all the best to you. It's Chad and Jeff. Thank you so much.
Two brothers, one mind.
Yes, and we'll be back right after this.
Thank you so much.
Two of the most famous shows in all America. Two presidential candidates, one day to decide an election. Coming November 4th, Sarah Palin's favorite Joe Sixpack takes on the new media superstar of the campaign season, Joe the Plumber, in a no-holds-barred event.
Hey, man, I'm Joe Sixpack, the original Joe, and you're going down.
Listen, you lazy drunk. I may not have a plumbing license, but I got a license to clean your pipes.
The UFC presents Election 2008. Joe Sixpack versus Joe the Plumber, only on Election Day.
Of the light as two blind lovers steal the night. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside? Decorated drunken lives can't eclipse those starry eyes. Can you feel it? Can you feel it inside? Can we go where lucid dreamers fly? Can we go where language isn't wide? favorite tunes to eager listeners bathed in moons. Can you feel it? Can you feel it's inside? The faithful souls with aging leaves stand patrol as rain deceives. Can you feel it? And can you feel it's inside? Can we go where lucid dreamers fly? Can we go where language isn't white? Can we go where summers never lie? Summers never lie. But isn't it about chance of standing still? Isn't it about a love that always will? Early hours just observe nighttime's meaning to be heard. Can you feel it? Can you feel it's inside? Can you feel it inside? Can you feel it inside? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
They were kind of fun, these
they were.
Brothers, huh? Wow, amazing.
I know. Yeah. I don't know how they do that, but
well,
that's really neat.
I still think it's magic, but they do it well.
It is magic, but
they
that's
do it
cool.
Well. Yeah, they don't read minds. Anyway, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, we have another guest in the studio, and your name is Heather?
Lounsbury.
Lounsbury. Yes. Susie, would you move the microphone for her a little bit so she doesn't have to lean in?
Thank you.
Yeah. Whoops. Okay, now we are. Here we go.
Sorry, I know it's like really dirty having that thing just like shoved in your face.
I don't mind. It's okay.
Really?
So you live here in LA?
Yes, I do, in Santa Monica.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And did you grow up here? Or
no, I moved here about 15 years ago. I'm originally from Maryland.
Maryland.
Okay,
I thought
cool.
She was going to say New York, because everybody's from New York, it seems. But we had a couple of guests from Maryland yesterday. A couple of former hosts were here.
Okay.
The coolest guys. So they came here to visit, and they're back in Maryland now. So what made you move from Maryland to here?
Well, originally I came here right after college, and I thought I was going to get my PhD in German and become a professor.
Oh, really?
So, and I'm so glad I decided not to do that.
Now, why German out of all languages?
Well, I have a bachelor's in German and a bachelor's in Russian, and I don't know, I felt more of a pull to teaching German over Russian, and I'd lived in Germany for a year, so.
I see.
Wow.
So you majored in languages because you wanted to teach them? Is that what it is?
Well, I really didn't know what I wanted to be.
Uh-huh.
And when you're 18, I think it's too young to really figure out who you want to be when you grow up. So
yeah.
I already studied them in high school, and I just kept studying them in college and loved it, but it wasn't enough to pursue a career in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you could be like an interpreter or something.
I could be.
Yeah, definitely. Or do some kind of international stuff that requires the language and stuff.
But she doesn't want to.
No, she doesn't want to.
Exactly.
Okay. Which leads us to what you do now.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about this. It sounded fascinating to me, and I thought you'd come in and enrich us a little bit.
Okay. Well, I am a licensed acupuncturist.
Ooh.
That means I do acupuncture, herbs, and nutrition. I also do lifestyle counseling. I'm what's called a Reiki master, so I can do energy healing on people. And
I was
teach
engaged
people how to
one
do
of those.
Oh, you are?
Whoa, that's crazy. She is very talented.
Really?
Oh, thank you.
Wow. So, okay, so you do the you said life coaching too? Or?
Well, it's sort of life coaching, lifestyle counseling. Because I treat a lot of people with mental health and addiction issues.
Right.
So I help them through that with not just the herbs and the acupuncture, but I give them ideas on how to deal with their lives now that they're making changes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. So I would imagine a lot of people come to quit smoking and stuff like that?
Yes.
And you're successful with them?
Yes.
Really?
Definitely.
Okay, well, I'm your next client.
Oh,
because,
well, I'm glad I'm here.
Yes. Yeah, I've been struggling with this for a long time. So, and I know, you know, I used to be very skeptical of acupuncture, and I told you this, Susie, before, mm-hmm. until I had a terrible back pain. And for 2 weeks, I couldn't move. I went to a regular doctor. He gave me some medication. Didn't work. And after three people had told me during those 2 weeks to go for acupuncture, I finally decided I've got nothing to lose. So I went, and it's a like whole story, and I passed out and everything.
You passed out?
Yeah, I told you about it, didn't I?
Were you so scared? Is that why you passed
out? No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, he was putting some needles in my head as well.
Ah, and that would freak me out.
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't hurt at all.
No.
But I think he said that it did something to the circulation where it lowered the blood sugar or something.
Yes, and your then blood pressure.
Oh, blood pressure, whatever it is. And and that's when I passed out, yeah. So then I'm like, the next thing I know is like people are like pulling me and shaking me and going, wake up, you
that
know?
That doesn't sound very therapeutic for you
no,
or your back.
It's not, no. You know? And I was... It was my wife and the doctor there, you know, and they were shaking me because they realized, and he had pulled all the needles out of me right away. But
you don't want to roll over on those, I guess.
No.
So then he realized maybe that's a little too much at the beginning. So he gave. So it turned out that I hadn't eaten all day. And
yeah,
that,
you have to eat before.
Yes, you see, and that's what I think caused it. You know,
he goes like all day without eating. I have to eat like 4 or 5 meals a day, like little ones all
that's
day.
That's how you should eat.
Yeah, actually. Definitely yeah. For the body to constantly work all the time.
Yes,
I know. But so at any rate, so he finally put some cups on me, you know, and wow. Instead, you know. Those
suction
glass
cups.
Yeah, those suction cups, and I had those the biggest purple circles on my back. I can tell you. I mean, I felt like this because
you're making it sound like a great experience. Why don't we have her tell us a good one?
No, I will. But no, but my
but it didn't
point
hurt
is
the cups, right?
No, it didn't yeah. hurt, but it burned a little bit afterwards. But no, that's not my point. I mean, you asked me about it, so I sort of like went on a tangent there. But the bottom line is that after that time. And then another time, well, that time I think took away 85% of the pain. The first time.
Wow, that's great. I like hearing those
yeah.
stories.
Yeah, and then the second time I went there, and it was it. That was it. It was gone within 3 days, you know, two visits, Susie. So,
wow, it does work.
I'm a convert. Good. I'm a convert. And, you know, and I also got to thinking, you know, I went to a place referred by someone, but it was a rather large place, and I thought there's no way they can afford to do this just based on bullshit, you know. I mean, you know, it has to be, there has to be something to it.
There is.
For so many people to go into this. So how did you get into this?
Well, I actually started studying about supplements and nutrition in high school. I learned that my MD didn't know very much about either of those things, so mm-hmm. I wanted to learn on my own and kept studying in college and realized this is what I want to be when I grow up, and I'm so glad I did. I mean, Chinese medicine to me is the most thorough of all the holistic medicines
really?
Out there. Yeah,
wow.
I mean, I combine some homeopathy and that kind of thing as well, but every one of my patients gets at least a little bit better, so I know it works.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So did you have to go to school and learn these things after you graduated college, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a 4-year master's program with about a year and a half residency involved in it, so it's a really intense program.
It is. Four and a half years
yes.
of master's.
It's like medical
wow.
school.
It's almost like medical school, except the residency is a lot easier. Because I'm not working 100 hours a week. It was only part-time. And then the licensing exam is as hard as like taking the bar. They only pass about 55% of the people who take it.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's impressive.
So we have a smart one in the house.
Yes. I graduated second in my class, too.
Really?
Yes.
Where'd you go to school?
Emperor's College. It's one of the oldest Chinese medical schools in the country. It's over 20 years old now. And it's in Santa Monica.
Oh,
and
neat.
I also studied for a little bit in Taiwan.
So is that what brought you out to California?
I just knew California was more the lifestyle I wanted to live. I've always been kind of healthy, and in Maryland 15 years ago, sprouts and tofu were still kind of weird. So.
Absolutely,
yes.
Yeah. No, tofu. I think tofu definitely originated here, you know, with all the health nuts and stuff, you know. Wow. So other than acupuncture, what kind of other healing is there?
Well, tell everyone about the Reiki.
Okay, Reiki is, it might sound a little hokey to people who are listening, but it's a energy work where you're not doing it yourself. You channel healing energy from the universe, basically, and it just goes through your hands. And it calms people down. It can remove any energetic blockages in your body. And sometimes I actually see things that's causing the problem. I'll have little snippets of a vision of something that might have happened to them that's upsetting them and that's causing the physical symptoms.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
So you're a little psychic, too.
Well, I guess so. I guess you could call it that.
Yeah, wow.
So it's just energy work moving blockages in the body. It's similar to acupuncture, but it's just using your hands instead of needles.
Do your hands get very, very hot when you do it?
Yes.
That was always the craziest thing that scared me when Sean would do it to me. At first, because I was just like, oh, please. I was like, this is BS. I don't believe anything you're saying. And then he would actually like sit me down and do it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? I'm like, no. I'm scared. That he's like, just calm down. It's okay. Next thing you know, I was a total believer in it.
Yeah.
But there really are not many believers out there, I don't think, in this.
No,
in this
not
day
Reiki.
And age.
Yeah. Oh. More and more are starting to get into it because they're realizing that they're unhealthy and maybe their medications aren't helping or nothing's showing up on tests, blood tests. Mm. So the next thing that they do is what I do to try that. Like you were in pain for 2 weeks
right.
and acupuncture fixed it. But if you had gone to a Western doctor, they might have automatically said surgery or something like that.
Really? So, mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't know what was
it
wrong with you exactly.
It goes that far, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just from picking up heavy suitcases and stuff, okay. I'm sure, yeah.
So,
and let the women do the lifting, Sam, please.
Yeah, well, Susie, you're taking it a little too far this morning. No, but, I mean, you know, if they're going to send you to surgery and stuff, that's pretty scary.
Yes, it is.
Especially on the back.
Yes. And so I always recommend at least trying, if you have a back injury of any kind, try an acupuncture first mm-hmm. because it can't hurt. And if you see it doesn't give you results, then try surgery.
Then try something else.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I had injured my back a long time ago, Miss Susie, okay?
Bend at the knees.
Yeah, let the ladies carry it.
That's why women have children. We're tougher.
Yeah, you are, but that's beside the point. So, so I think that's definitely the way to go. And now I'm more open to believing it can help other things, like you said, quitting smoking and addictions and that sort of thing.
Yes.
So, I mean, does this work like on heavy addictions, like if someone was on heroin or something?
Oh, yeah. I did part of my residency in a drug rehab, Exodus. I don't know if you remember Kurt Cobain stayed there right before he passed away. It used to be the place for rehab. Mm. And I treat heroin addicts, coke addicts, sex addicts.
Really?
Sugar addicts.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to get rid of.
Really? Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a wineaholic.
You're a wineaholic. But you have to want to quit. I can't just make you quit.
Right. That's what they say.
Yeah. It just makes it easier.
Yeah. I know. I wish it was as easy as just turning, you know, pressing a button or something, even if you don't want to quit, and you'd still be able to. But I guess.
I'm telling you, that's what the Chantix does. Have you heard of the drug Chantix for smoking?
Yes, but I recently heard side effects aren't so great.
Suicide, you know.
Really?
Minor details.
Gee, yeah. Quit smoking, but kill yourself.
Only in a small percentage of people. But I'm telling you take that drug and all of a sudden, like, you think you want to have a cigarette and then you go to have it and then it tastes so awful. You're just like, ugh. By the end of the week, you just are not smoking at all because it just tastes so bad.
Right. So how does this, so you do hypnosis as well, right?
No, I have someone I refer to for hypnosis.
Okay, so how would you treat an addiction, for example? I mean, would you start with acupuncture and take it into different levels?
Yes, well, with all my patients, the first visit, I go over herbal consultation and nutritional consultation as well, mm-hmm. Because there's always, especially if you're an addict, there's going to be things lacking in your diet, but as many times a week as you can come, time-wise and affordability mm-hmm. for treatment. Okay. When I was in the working in the rehab, I treated people 5 days a week. The more you do it, the easier the process is going to be. And I understand people are busy and budgets are tight right now.
Yeah.
But you do acupuncture as often as you can, especially the first month, because that's the hardest.
Really? So how does the acupuncture, I mean, that's obviously a physical thing.
What produces the effects?
Yeah, I mean, how does your addiction stop? You know, when you have needles stuck into you. So, I mean, I'm trying to put it bluntly and simply.
Well, it's kind of hard to explain in Western terms, but it releases chemicals to help calm you down, and it helps flush out toxins from your body faster. So the quicker you get nicotine out of your system, the less likely you're going to want to smoke again. The cravings become less.
I see.
So it flushes out whatever addiction you have out of your system faster. It calms your mind. It helps you relax. Excuse me. So
I know. You needed some water. That's okay. We won't keep you here too long. But I know. We're such bad hosts, you know. We thought we would have water here, and she really needs water, and we don't
would
have
like some wine mixed with water?
Well, at least a sip.
Yeah, she needs a sip. Doesn't matter what's in the bottle.
I'm serious. It's mixed with, like, box wine, Franzia.
Yeah. But, you know, we...
Oh, look at the face she made.
She's like, sorry she asked.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well,
I'm sorry, but that's all I had.
It's okay.
I know, it's terrible. But we just moved in here, so things are still a little unorganized. At any rate...
Oh, Alan.
Wow, look at this. Wow, Alan, you're
hero.
An angel. an angel. Okay, we just said Mr. Alan Cardoza, who's coming up at 11, probably listening to the show outside. And you heard our guest going through some really heavy stress here, not having any drinks. So you see, we've got angels in the
yes,
studio.
Yes, you do. Thank you.
There
for
you
that.
Go. So that's amazing. But at any rate, okay. Now, what about diet and stuff like that? Do you go over that with the people as well as like what they should eat and things?
Yes,
like that?
I do. I can. What I have is a unique approach of using Western medicine, Western nutrition, and what's called Chinese nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at what nutrients might be missing from a person's diet, but I also combine it with Chinese nutrition, which looks at food energetically.
Mm.
So say with your low back pain, I would recommend having black beans, seaweed, sesame seeds, because that helps anything to do with the low back.
Really?
Yes.
Ah. Wow, that's amazing. So you've had to learn about food and stuff as well.
Yes.
Huh?
Well, I started studying nutrition when I was 14.
Oh.
So years and years of experience in studying. And then I had three courses in my graduate program.
Now, what does the seaweed? I love seaweed. I eat a ton of seaweed salad all the time.
Good.
I actually had a provider once upon a time. I would get it in bulk. I know you shouldn't do anything in excess anyway, but
yes.
Doesn't it taste nasty?
Oh, I love it. I
really?
Love it. It's so good. Now, what would that have to do with his lower back? How would that help?
Well, and that's the thing. In Chinese nutrition, you can't really explain it on a chemical level, but it helps the kidneys and the low back. Anything that's salty, but naturally salty, not processed food or fast food, is good for the kidneys and the low back. I can't really explain it in a better way than that. So, like, if you have anger issues, you want to eat things that are green, or having liver problems, like to flush out your liver, you want to have as many green things as you can.
Maybe that's why I eat so many vegetables.
Right.
Yeah. You have anger issues?
No, to counteract the wine I drink for my liver.
Yeah. Yeah, your body knows.
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about her addiction to being attracted to the wrong guys? Can you do anything with that?
Well, I can help your self-esteem.
Yeah. I think it's pretty high with her. Or maybe not. Who knows? Yeah. Susie, yeah.
What?
But no, I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
But this is fascinating. I mean, this is amazing. So you've been doing
Thank you.
For how many years?
Just over 10 years.
10 years. Wow. So you're really good at it. You can do it with
I'm
your
really
eyes
good
closed.
At it. Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'd want to do that.
I've got a question for you, too.
Yes.
I know I've got a lot of friends in California that are all into the raw diet, and they're all just like, ooh, you know, this whole raw diet is the big thing now. Is it BS, or is there something to it? I mean, I like to cook food. I like raw vegetables, but I also like to cook a meal and, you know, cook my green beans and, like, things like that.
Well, raw food out there aren't going to like me right now. I totally agree with the concept of having as many raw vegetables as you can, but I think you should have some foods slightly cooked, at least steamed, because our digestion needs warmer foods to help stimulate metabolism. If you only have cold foods all the time, it actually weakens your stomach and spleen.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yes,
I didn't
but
know that.
It's definitely good to get your nutrients from raw food.
Okay.
But I would say, depending on your general health, I can't say for everyone raw food is good or not good. I would need to meet with you individually and say, you know, 20% raw is good, 50% raw is good for you. So each individual is different. That's the thing about most diets. You can't say across the board that it's good for every single person.
Okay. So. Because these people, they just get fanatical about it.
Yes, they do.
And I mean, some of them, well, like, they look like they're going to fall over because they look so frail. I'm like, you need some pasta. I'm like, can I cook you some spaghetti bolognese or something? I'm like, please, eat a cookie.
Yeah.
Even if it's a cooked tofu cookie, I don't know.
So what do you think of vegans? I mean, is that a healthy lifestyle?
It can be, but you definitely have to be very careful about what you're eating. The biggest nutrient that you could be lacking in vegans. No, because protein, actually, it's a myth that you have to eat animal products for protein. Vegetables are high in protein. Beans are high in protein. It's more B12, actually. Mm. And you can take a supplement for B12. If you eat a lot of seaweed, that's good for B12 and something called nutritional yeast. Is also high in B12. It has other B vitamins as well. So you just have to be very careful. And I know plenty of people who eat meat every meal, and they're not
their cholesterol must be.
Well, their cholesterol is high, but they also can still be anemic.
Really?
Yes. So it just depends on the person, if they're watching what they eat, if they're eating the right foods for them. So veganism is great for some people, but it's not great for everyone.
I was actually a vegan when I was a child, probably for about 9 years. Self-proclaimed, my sister told me how she saw veal in crates when she was like driving back from Notre Dame back to upstate New York where we lived. And we were having veal for dinner. And I was, I was seven or eight at the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not eating this meat. I'm not going to eat any animal product ever again. I started again when I was 18, going back to the dark side, I call it. But my mother freaked out when I did this. I mean, she literally was like, you're going to sit here, young lady, until you eat your food. And I would sit there all night, cry, fall asleep with my head in the plate. And finally, she realized I wasn't going to give in, and she sent me to a nutritionist. And it ended up actually being kind of a bad experience, if you will. I don't know. Like, the woman, like, locked me in the room with her. I didn't want to be in there. And she, like, wanted to go through, like, all the different foods that I would and wouldn't eat. And then she, like, made a list of all these things, like pine nuts. And so my mom had to go and buy this huge, like, mass quantity of pine nuts. To this day, if I see a pine nut in my salad, I will go into, like, convulsions. And I'm just like, oh, gosh, no.
Well, it sounds like she didn't know how to work with children.
No.
Too. I mean, nutritionists can be great. But there are some that they just have their theories, and that's what they tell everyone. So
you work with all walks of life.
Yeah, I work with all. I treat children as young as 2 months old. So obviously I'm not giving nutritional counseling to them, but things to help the mother if they're breastfeeding. But there's diets that are right for every single person. So something like that, you don't talk to how old were you? 8 years old? Mm-hmm. You don't talk to an 8-year-old about food that way. It just won't work. You have to make fun out of it and make it exciting for them that they're going to be having pine nuts and carrots and beans and
It's amazing how parents just have the talent to screw us up, you know? Every time, every family, the same thing, you know?
Since you brought up infants before as well, I also nanny for a couple different families, and, I'm around breastfeeding mothers all the time. Now, one day, this is kind of funny, the family came home and the mom was like, oh my gosh, look what I got! And I was like, are those... Like, they look like little litmus tests. And I was like, are those litmus tests for your breast milk? I'm like, what? Oh, my gosh. I was like, you're totally, like, trying to see how much alcohol is in your breast milk? So she could see if her kid's going to get pickled or not. What is, like, a safe ratio, like, approximately? Like, can the kid really get drunk off the mom's breast milk if the mom is drinking?
Well, I wouldn't say drunk, but it can cause brain damage. It depends on how close to breastfeeding and drinking and how much they're drinking, and depends on how big the woman is and how much food she ate, when she drank. So that's something really you'd want to talk about with your OBGYN or pediatrician.
I think the easy answer is no, don't drink, you know? I mean, and just don't take the chance, you know?
Well, that's why she brought the strips, to see how much booze is in her milk.
I mean, if you have a few glasses at night, your kid's already asleep, and you've pumped, then there's really nothing to worry about. But if you're drinking every day, it's probably not a good idea for you anyway. But I'd say keep it minimal until you stop breastfeeding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, you're a wealth of information,
definitely,
Heather. Why don't you go ahead and give your website so people can find you?
Okay, it's www.breathebalance.com.
Breathe Balance.
Yes, I'm going to spell it out because people spell it incorrectly all the time.
Yeah.
B-R-E-A-T-H-E BALANCE.com.
Breathe balance. Okay. Yes. And there's all kinds of information, I'm sure, in contact.
Yes, I have a great website, so check it out.
Wonderful. And you have a practice in Santa Monica, you said,
I'm actually in West L.A., my practice.
West L.A.
Olympic and Sawtelle.
Okay.
So it's easy to get to from anywhere in L.A.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And you had quite a drive here, huh?
It was only about 35 minutes, actually. Oh, okay. I was lucky.
Yeah, you see, for us in L.A., only 35 minutes, you know?
It's a lifetime. It could have been an hour and a half.
Yeah, there you go.
She's an optimist. I like it. I have good energy in the studio.
Yeah, well, definitely. She dabbles in energy all the time, so she should know. Okay, Heather, and your last name again?
Lounsbury.
Lounsbury. Yes. Okay, I'll remember that eventually.
I hope so.
Yeah, Heather Lounsbury and Breathe Balance, right?
Yes.
And yeah, go ahead and check it out. And we'll definitely, I'm probably going to contact you about the cigarettes.
I would love to help you.
Yeah, because it would be, it's really difficult. And I'm feeling that at this point, I need to let it go, you know?
It's time.
I have one other question.
Okay.
I've been on Ritalin and Adderall for like a million years, and I know it's not good. And even my doctor, I got my prescription filled the other day, and he's like, I need to have you go in for an EKG to make sure your heart's not going to blow up. And I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, that doesn't sound very good. And I had a friend tell me once upon a time, he's like, fish oil. You know, stop taking the Adderall and start eating some fish oil, and you'll be just fine.
Well, it's not that simple.
It's more than that.
Yeah. And you don't want to just stop. You would need to wean off of it and be monitored by your doctor. And there's things that I could do as well to help you get off of medications. But you'd probably have to take herbs long term. But I do everything in a capsule, so you don't have to taste them.
Mm-hmm.
Fish oil on its own is not enough to take you off of those medications.
Okay.
It would help for sure.
Cool.
Okay, Heather, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And, you know, I like people that are into this kind of stuff because I'm so, like, not into it. I do everything unhealthy and all that, so I need to be around someone like you, you know, for a while, too.
Well, I'd love to inspire
you.
Yes,
because I eat junk all the time, you know. But, yeah, but at any rate, breathebalance.com, Susie, and we'll be back right after this for the last part.
Two of the most famous shows in all America. Two presidential candidates, one day to decide an election. Coming November 4th, Sarah Palin's favorite Joe Sixpack takes on the new media superstar of the campaign season, Joe the Plumber, in a no-holds-barred event.
Hey, man, I'm Joe Sixpack, the original Joe, and you're going down.
Listen, you lazy drunk. I may not have a plumbing license, but I got a license to clean your pipes.
The UFC presents Election 2008. Joe Sixpack versus Joe the Plumber, only on Election Day.
You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet.
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
Wow, what a bunch of guests today, huh?
I know, we had a full house.
We really did, you know, it's amazing, you know, and I like to bring those people every once in a while, you know, the ones into health and stuff like that.
Definitely.
I need someone to remind me I'm not living correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. It's going to catch up with me, you know? Because, look,
Sam,
when you're
Sam,
young...
Sam, you know these things, but you don't do anything about them.
I know.
That's the thing.
I know. And it really irritates me, you know? And I'm trying to dig deep to find out why, you know?
I mean, it's like, I know I drink, and I know I'm self-medicating, and yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, during the day, I get up, and I eat extremely healthy foods, like, and lots of fruits and vegetables.
Right.
And I try and, like, make up for the fact that I was really bad to my body last night.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When I was your age, I was living the same way, okay? But
living
but
a
now,
healthy day?
No.
Exactly. You've never had a healthy day in your life.
Well, I love food that tastes good. What can I say? You know,
you can make food taste good with like all different kinds of spices. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be salt, fat, and
but
sugar.
But I don't cook. I don't do those things. That's what I'm saying. I mean, for me, it's like, okay, let's say the show's over. We
well,
go
then you
home,
need to
right?
go home and tell your I'm wife like, to cook certain things.
Okay, but she's busy too, okay? And besides, so look, I leave here. I'm like extremely hungry. Didn't have breakfast, right? What am I going to do? I'm going to stop at Subway, get a sandwich. Okay,
but,
so I get tuna.
But,
I get
okay,
I
get the
get
tuna.
Roast beef,
you don't get the mayonnaise. You know, get salt.
No, you see, I gotta have
salt.
The mayonnaise.
No, you don't have to have the mayonnaise.
I have to.
If you're getting the tuna, there's already mayonnaise in the tuna.
That's true, but I still need mayonnaise.
You don't need the you don't need the mayonnaise, I'm telling you.
Okay, you can't tell me what I need and what I
I absolutely can, and I did. I'm putting the smack down.
Well, you're friggin' wrong.
You can get that like 6 gram of fat Subway sub, you know, Subway Eat Fresh.
I know, but they don't taste good, you see?
Yes, it does. When was the last time you ever had one without mayonnaise?
Can't say I have.
Exactly. Therefore, you don't know.
Do I know?
You could
it's just
put
dry.
You could put a party of different things in that sandwich that'll make it taste so like crispy and refreshing.
Yeah,
and
but the thing is this. Look, you got to understand, with me, it's like you can take a sandwich, take everything out of it, but leave the mayonnaise. I can't have sandwich without mayonnaise.
Okay, go with light mayonnaise. Or do like a little oil and like balsamic vinaigrette on it instead.
Well, I do. But in addition
on top of the mayonnaise. You're a sick man.
Thank you very much.
I don't ever want to hear you give me shit about my drinking ever again.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because your eating habits are just as bad as my drinking habits.
No, you're just trying to get away with it now. I mean, you know.
I'm legal. You still, I can get away with anything I want.
That's true. But you did say you were going to last a week and you didn't last.
You told me to fall off the wagon.
Okay, so let's do it again. You want to do it again?
Let me think. No, I've got two vacations coming up right now.
Okay.
So that's not going to work.
Okay.
And I'm going to see my family, A, so B, I have to drink.
That's true. So you're leaving this Friday, right?
No, I'm going to leave Thursday night. Thursday night, yes, yes.
Okay, so there won't be a show Friday, but yes. You'll be there over the weekend, and then when are you coming back?
Sunday night.
Sunday night, cool.
Yep. Super fast trip.
Super fast.
I'm actually getting really stressed out about
it. You're just going to get laid and come back. That's pretty much
what I'm going for my grandmother's 85th birthday party, my sister's 31st birthday party, my stepsister's 31st birthday party. I had it all arranged.
Really?
They don't know I'm coming. They're all having a party together on Friday night.
Oh, how
and
nice.
And I'm showing up as the guest of honor to surprise them.
That's cool, Susie.
I know.
That's cool. Big star from California. The radio host.
Oh, no, no. They don't like the radio show.
No.
I'm actually a little bit embarrassed to like go home and like have them see my smiling face.
Why?
Because
you
all
tell
the
them this is show business, folks. You know,
well,
that's why I moved to California.
That's not why I moved to California.
Okay,
I came to California because I got drunk and missed my plane to Australia.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I just never really intended for them to hear it. I kind of always wanted to have them think that it was maybe like a local radio station and they couldn't really tune in New York.
Right.
But all of a sudden my mom, you know, la 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 la, oh, what's this? LATalkRadio.com. Let me click it. And she's like, oh, listen live. Oh, yeah, I like being fucked in the air. And then, you know, next thing you know, she's like, oh my, Susie, who picks the subject matter for that show?
Yeah.
Like, don't you know you've got more to offer the world than what's in between your legs? And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, but the world is not interested.
Hey, maybe I'm not interested in anything. No, I'm just kidding.
That's funny.
Yeah, but so I'm actually a little bit nervous about seeing all of them just because of that. But who knows?
No, listen, they're gonna respect you because you have the balls to say these things, okay? And you say what other people just think. Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, so you know, I mean, this is show business. Look, you're putting on a show. The fact that it's the real you on the radio is irrelevant.
Shh. It's not the real me. This is my character that
well,
I play every morning.
Yeah.
Wink wink.
We know that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then the event. So Franz is coming with me, the Franz, mm-hmm. And so he's going to get to meet my entire family too.
What is it? You put up a picture with him of you guys dancing tango or something?
No, that was at our bike prom.
Is that what it is?
No,
but you guys
we
are like dancing.
We were just slow dancing.
Oh, is that what it is?
I just did that to
it
be cute.
It looks like tango.
I did that to be cute because I looked at his Facebook picture when I came home yesterday, and he had changed his to one of the two of us. Granted, he was shoving a beer down my chest, down the front of my dress.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh, my baby put a picture of us up instead of like the one picture he had of himself.
Oh.
So I thought I would be cute and change it to that too.
Oh, so you guys are making up.
We are.
No,
all
you have to do is change your status. From it's complicated
nope.
to married?
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. I'm keeping it at it's complicated for eternity.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to be married. It's never going to be anything except complications.
Never resolved, huh?
Unresolved, yes.
Yeah.
But I am really excited to go back and see him. And
You know, at this point, I wonder if anything is going to break you guys up because you've put up with just about anything.
This seriously is the most messed up relationship in the
world. I know. I mean, there's nothing to shock the other to say, oh, fuck, you did this. Well, I'm leaving you, you know, because you've done everything already.
Maybe that's the key to a good, healthy relationship. We've gotten all of our anger, all of our cheating, all of our threesomes out of the way. I mean, we've gotten everything out of the way that we could possibly do to each other.
That's true. Hurt each other like crazy, both ways.
Beating the shit out of each other. Seriously.
Physically
healthy.
Physically and otherwise.
Yep, yep. Definitely emotional abuse as well. but yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So nothing happened on the trip, huh? I mean, you said there were
you
guys there.
You don't think there, being naked and running around the national park and then getting almost thrown
you're
out
not
for
naked.
Being obscene?
You had your fur coats on.
But they were open. There was a lot of nip slippage going on. Trust me, that we were practically naked.
Really?
Yes, yes.
What were the
jumping
guys
through
with
the fire,
you
rolling
who
off.
Were the guys with you anyway?
Let's see. This one guy, Tim, from England.
So you were three girls and two guys? Is that what I'm
three girls, two guys at first,
and then
the other guy showed up.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then, yeah.
Well, okay.
I don't know.
So what were they like? I mean, were they any... So there weren't any couples there. It was just...
There was one couple.
Oh, one couple.
Yeah, there was one couple.
And
actually,
then Lisa and you and another guy.
Lisa, me, another guy, and another girl.
Right.
The two girls were actually from the Philippines. They had grown up in the Philippines together from the time they were like 2 years old.
Oh, really?
And then they both came over to the States when they were 18.
Filipinas. Oh, did you invite them to the studio?
I did.
Those are delicious.
Sam. Actually, I invited this one couple, the Filipina girl and her boyfriend, who's American. Actually, no, sorry, he would get mad at me. He's Spanish and American. Mm. But I invited them on because they were just so cute and lovey-dovey. And she just looks so prim and proper. Mm. And she's got her perfect little bob. And, you know, she just looks totally cute. And we show up and she's cooking, like, shrimp on the barbecue for us and everything. And then, you know, enter Susie. Rah, like ass, cock, fuck, shit. And she's just like, oh my God. But you know, I wore that girl down, and all of a sudden the prim and proper little girl was just crazy. And I was like, come here. And I started ripping her clothes off, and I was like, wait a minute, those are not your real boobs. And she's like, all of a sudden, you know, she's so shy. And yeah. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, let me touch. And she'd never had a girl just come up to her and being like, let me see your boobs, and ripping her shirt off and just like grabbing them.
Wow. I wish I could do that.
She was a little bit horrified, but then all of a sudden she was like, yeah, this isn't so bad. So I liked having the different sides of her personality come out over the course of the weekend. Yeah. That was really interesting.
I know. I like to see like people that come across as reserved or something or shy, and then they come out of their
shell.
And
then you see their naughty, naughty side.
I know, and the dirtiest ones of them all. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My two little Filipina girlfriends this weekend were quite naughty.
Yeah.
As was my roommate, but that's, you know, that's why we live together.
I know. But we still need to find her somebody, huh? For Lisa.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling... Oh, and then the park ranger ended up coming back the next day. He's like, ooh, after he finally got over being horrified and scared to death of Lisa attacking him and, like, threatening to put curses on him with her witchery, he's like, I came back to see my favorite witch. Actually, you know, that was the highlight of my evening, having her grab my badge. Ooh. So that was pretty funny. But he was very disappointed because she was off doing a photo shoot in the desert and, you know, she couldn't be found.
Yeah.
but yeah, we made that poor man's weekend.
Yeah.
We gave him something to go home and shtup his wife to.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh. We had a beautiful guest here yesterday on another show. And I'm just going crazy with all these guests. I mean, fucking models and shit, you know. I mean, why should I be subjected to that? It's too much torture.
Well, then stay home. It's a Sunday. What the hell were you doing in the studio?
Sunday is my busiest day, my dear.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah, I was here since 9 o'clock in the morning until 9 p.m. yesterday.
Aye. I called in sick to my other. I didn't call in sick. I called in overwhelmed. I did. I was like, listen. I was like, I'm seriously overwhelmed. I can't come. I was supposed to bartend at the Getty. I was like, I've got way too much going on right now, and I've got to study for my biology test. So find someone else.
Yeah. Well, after all this studying, I sure hope you do well tonight.
Yeah, but again, I'm back to cramming for this test, and when I cram, I don't really do well. So I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah. But you had a study group with it, you've been studying for a while.
Yeah, but I haven't been studying the way I studied for the first one when I got the highest grade in the class. You know, this time I was kind of cocky and was like, I got the highest grade in the class. I'm just naturally brilliant.
Yeah, yep, so now yep, I can write it out and get a fucking F.
I know, I'm not gonna get an F. I know that for sure. I don't know. I've groomed the professor to kind of give the class a little bit of an easier test.
Yeah.
because I'm like, listen, dude, I was like, you know, we're not majors in bio, so calm down. Calm down. Just let us talk about sex for an hour and then we'll get back to the biology part. So hopefully he'll give us a fairly straightforward test.
Yeah.
So
I bet you drive all the professors crazy with all the shit you say.
No, he doesn't know what to do with me. Yeah. My statistics professor, I'm telling you, he cannot be, he's unwavering. Yeah. I'm sitting there with like my legs spread front row. I'm like, hi, professor. Like, give me an A. And he's like, nope. I'm not giving any preferential treatment. And I'm like, you suck. See this book, Talent is Overrated. You know, I've got a talent for manipulating the system.
Yes, you do.
But sometimes I can't stand it when I get caught. It really is the worst thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a price to pay for everything.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
do well on your test.
Thank you.
We'll be praying for you.
I'm going to go back and cram again right now for another 4 hours.
Oh, sounds great to me.
Yes.
I'm so glad I'm out of school already, you know. And I actually went back a couple times to school. The second time was for I was trying to get some credentials and stuff. So I had to go back and take some more English classes, like literature and shit like that. I don't know why. But yeah, I mean, look, it's fun. When you're in the class, it's fun, I think. But when you have to study at home, it's such a, you know,
mm-hmm.
so much time.
I know.
But it'll pay off in the long run, Susie. You'll be our sixth therapist. Yes. And you'll get to do a lot of fun things.
I hope so. That's the end goal.
Yeah, well, okay, so we want to thank our guests. We had Jeff Colvin, who wrote Talent is Overrated, of course. We have who else? We had the twins. They're not twins. But
I can't believe they're not twins.
Yeah. And yeah,
Jeff and Chad.
There's 12 years between them? Is that what they say?
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that unbelievable?
It is. I mean, they look almost the same age. And so they're two brothers.
OneMind.com.
And they read each other's minds and stuff, which is pretty cool. And of course, we had Heather Lounsbury, who is a healer or acupuncturist.
Reiki master, yeah. Acupuncturist.
I don't know how you'd
call
it.
Nutritionist.
Yeah. Holistic therapy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And... well, somebody's calling, but I guess you guys are a little too late for today.
See who
because
it is.
We have to go. No, we don't have time.
All right.
Yeah, because it's going to take forever. But at any rate, thank you so much, Susie.
Anytime.
Okay,
anytime.
Go get some rest, and we'll be back right here tomorrow.